Ladies and gentlemen, you're all welcome. We are going to start the meeting now. Let's start right away and ask the secretary to give us the apologies.
Thank you, Chair. The following apologies. Mr. Dlamini is unable to attend the committee to the conference. And then Mr. Esmerickson indicated that the portfolio committee of the state is also meeting now this morning, so Mr. Esmerickson is here, but we'll be running between the two committees here. So those are the apologies, Chair.
I'm told that the projector is not working, so we're going to have to use our hard copy. So I hope everybody does have a hard copy.
Good morning, Honourable Minister. Good morning, Honourable Committee Chairperson Majola and Honourable Members. It's a pleasure to be here today. Today what we will be doing is presenting the 2015 and 2016 annual reports together, because the one was not presented last year. The reason for that was the disagreement that arose with the Auditor General. And what that was related to was the concept of decommissioning nuclear facilities. What is standard practice around the world is to put money aside for the eventual dismantling of a nuclear system at some stage in the future. In the case of NEXA, there have been two phases. The one is the dismantling, which has now been done, of past nuclear facilities related to weapons development and various other things in the past. That is finished. The next one would be to allow for the eventual decommissioning, for example, of the Safari 1 nuclear reactor, which would happen in 20, maybe 30 years' time or something into the future. So it's a issue around the world where some guesswork has to be done to put money aside. And as time goes by, the technology is improving all of the time, making this an easier task, in fact, not a more difficult task. So what happened is there was a misunderstanding there. The AG said this was something unusual that they hadn't come across before, and after a lot of friendly interaction with them, we came to an understanding, and therefore we've got past that, and now the two reports are complete, the financials are all complete. What I want to emphasize is that there's absolutely nothing incorrect or nothing problematic in any of the financials. The dispute with the Auditor General is entirely due to this decommissioning issue. There was no financial irregularities, there was no mismanagement, there was nothing of that nature. And we're proud of the fact that everything came through very cleanly, other than this particular issue, which has come to the point now of a very amicable understanding of how we take the next few steps. Meantime, if one looks at the whole NEXA outlook, it's extremely good, it's exciting, it's positive. There are commercial issues that we're wanting to pursue considerably more now. A an issue that we're proud of, and you've probably heard of it before, is the nuclear medicine issue. Currently, Nexa is the second biggest market shareholder in the world with nuclear medicine. Every 3 seconds, somewhere in the world, somebody is injected with nuclear medicine from Felindaba. Every 3 hours, we save somebody's life somewhere in the world. We export to 60 countries, and this is quite spectacular, because we also undertake to move this material very fast. We say that we will inject anybody in the world in 36 hours after the material comes out of the reactor, which is quite something, because the nuclear medicine is designed to have its radiation die away quite fast, so time is critical. So on basically a daily basis, or more than once a day, medicine is dashing to the airport, getting on an aeroplane, going through the entire system, and by the next day or so, it's being injected into some patient. It's also the case that Nexa has what is known as an ASME3 accreditation from ASME. We call it ASME in the United States. That's an International Quality Assurance Body. We also have what's known as the N stamp. The N stamp is a nuclear stamp of nuclear manufacturing and fabrication capability. Nexa is currently the only company in South Africa that has an N stamp. An N stamp means that we can design and manufacture nuclear components and assemblies and export them to anybody anywhere in the world. It's internationally recognized, and that was a significant achievement. Just recently we were proud of the fact that we obtained a contract with a Russian company, and we've manufactured some nuclear reactor chambers at Nexa, which have been completed and delivered to the company in Russia, and the first payment has come through. So it's something we're proud of, although it's not a vast sum of money at this stage. It's a few million, but it shows that we make things and we export them. It's not like one often sees in the media that there's an image created that we're only a net importer of everything related to nuclear. That's not the case at all. Nexa has an extremely competent set of skills. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that in the country there's absolutely nothing in the whole of nuclear from the beginning to the end that South Africa does not know. There's no big black holes of lack of information. Undoubtedly, we do not have anywhere near enough people. But there's nothing that you can say that South Africa doesn't know that or that. And it starts at the front end of the mathematics, goes all the way through the developmental physics into the engineering, manufacturing, production, and so on. We can do everything. We're short of people. So we have to produce a lot more people, particularly in the skilled artisan area. And we're talking about very skilled. This is very beneficial for the whole country too, because not only does Nexa itself have significant skills, but we know that there are pockets of skill all over the country, and one of the challenges that we are facing with some excitement is to go around the country looking for those isolated pockets of supreme skill and to bring them into the fold, so to speak. To give one an illustration, a while ago I was invited to visit a very small company in Cape Town. The MD showed me around. He was terribly nervous as I went around, because here I was coming to sort of do an informal inspection, so to speak. And I went around the company and had a look, and I was rather impressed at the machining they were doing. And everybody was sort of shivering with fear during the course of this thing. And at the end, he was asking me, what do I think? And I think you're very good. And he said, oh, by the way, we are Airbus certified. And there on the wall, he then showed me a certificate hanging where these people are monthly manufacturing parts for the Airbus, not far from here, and exporting them to France, where they're placed into Airbus aircraft. I said to him, why on earth didn't you tell me that in the first 10 seconds? Why wait till the last 10 seconds? And this is the type of thing, all over the country we have these gems of skill, and somehow we've got to collect them all together to operate as one unit, so to speak. I think that's quite exciting. It's good fun. We also have a worldwide reach, much greater than most people understand. I myself have been around to a few countries in the last number of months. I was fortunate enough to be invited as guest speaker to places as diverse as Vietnam and Turkey and France and Russia and elsewhere. And what I'm finding, which I knew from past years, this is not new to me, is that in very many countries we are being looked at as absolute world leaders in this field. For example, in Vietnam, they were saying to me then at the same discussion, there was the head of nuclear Indonesia there as well. And they were saying, you South Africans, we trust. And so we don't trust first world in the sense that if the first world people come along and say, we can do so-and-so, we say to ourselves, but they've got tarred roads everywhere, and they've got restaurants everywhere, and they've got internet communications everywhere. But they say, if you South Africans say you can put many tons on the back of a truck and move it 200 kilometers, we believe you, because you guys have to go over dirt roads with nothing on the side, hundreds of kilometers between restaurants or petrol stops and so on. So they say, if you come and tell us it can be done, you we believe. And the fellow from Indonesia said the same thing, and I found the same sentiment in many other countries. They say, if South Africa can pull this off, anybody can do it, and we've been seen as a beacon in the nuclear unfolding at the moment, which is quite interesting. I'm also on a regular basis getting emails from people in the United States, for example. I have quite a large network of contacts there, and they keep sending me messages saying, you fellows are now doing what we should have been doing, and go for it. So we're getting encouragement from the top end, so to speak, and the bottom end, and so on. So we've been well and truly watched all over the place, which is also a little bit scary, but also exciting. The obvious big issue at the moment is the New Build nuclear program, which is unfolding. And that is exciting. It's one of the largest nuclear programs in the world. It's something which will unfold over the next decade plus. South Africa knows what it's doing in this business. We have the required experts. We will be working together with foreign companies. The image is often created in the press that somehow we're going to sign one check and post it to somebody and we're going to buy one nuclear reactor that will arrive. This is not accurate. The reactors will be built by South Africans in collaboration with one or more foreign companies when this eventually is decided. So it will be very much something that our people will be involved with. So the job opportunities and the skills developments and so on that are inherent in that is fantastic. And it's something to be well and truly welcomed. We are having a significant impact around the world because of this, because, as I said earlier, we are being watched. Developments that we will include in the new nuclear build as well will come from South Africans. It won't just be a case of taking it off the shelf from somebody else. For example, when Kuburg was built to a larger earthquake specification than Fukushima and to a larger tsunami specification than Fukushima. It was South African nuclear scientists and engineers at the time who said, this is what we want. And this was conveyed to the partners and it was built in. It was South Africans that monitored that and made those decisions. We didn't just take what was given to us, even back then, which was 40 years ago. So that will still be very much the case this time. We're not just sitting there waiting to be told what to do. We will issue most of the instructions and work in collaboration with the foreign people. Clearly, what we need is considerably more public understanding of what's going on. I'm a nuclear scientist, and I know for years, regularly I've been at all sorts of events where people have huge misunderstandings, and it's understandable why. When you see how nuclear unfolded over the years, it's something which is inherently mysterious and difficult. And the nuclear science people around the world over the years have not made life much easier for the public. They tend to keep quiet and walk away. So there's an idea that a lot of stuff is being intentionally kept from the public. That's not the case. To give a couple of illustrations, as regular as clockwork, I find myself on a social occasion where somebody says, oh, but look at the lessons learned from Fukushima. And everybody nods and says, yes, yes. And if you say, what were they? Nobody knows the answer. What I can tell you is that Fukushima, not one single person died from nuclear radiation at Fukushima. Not one single person was injured by nuclear radiation in Fukushima. No private property was damaged by radiation in Fukushima. Nothing. To give you another illustration as well, the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed with nuclear bombs at the end of the Second World War. Today they are thriving cities with absolutely zero medical indication of any genetic defects whatsoever, nothing. Yet I'm regularly hearing stories, we all are, of all the genetic defects that are going to take place if you live anywhere near a nuclear reactor, and all the leaks and the this and the this and this, nearly all of which is just not true, or there's a grain of truth which has been magnified in people's minds because they are scared, which is understandable. It's quite understandable, and why we need to go and explain that it's not like this. It's very understandable that people are going to worry about their families and they're going to worry about things that they don't understand. So it's something that we need to manage very much better, I think, than we've been doing. And we've at Nexa already been on the campaign to bring people to Nexa to visit. We've been around to see various people, and we plan to expand that to try and see what we can do to address all of that. So with that, I would like to stop and hand over to the CEO, who will now give a formal presentation related to the two annual reports. CEO can continue, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Minister, Chairperson of the Philippine, Honourable Members. What we'll be doing today is share with you the annual performance reports for the year 2014-15 and the year 2015-16. Our presentation will be slightly longer than usual because we're dealing with two reports instead of one. I'll start with the highlights, which are easily around the research and development projects that we do within NEXA, and then I'll go into the annual report proper. The first project that we'd like to bring to your attention, which you are very excited about, relates to the recovery of enriched uranium from molybdenum residue. Molybdenum is a medical isotope that we utilize to diagnose and treat cancer. But as we harvest this from the chain reaction, we leave a lot of the uranium entrapped in the residue. So we have a project in collaboration with the U.S. to recover this uranium so that we efficiently utilize our natural resources. We're seeing a great deal of progress there. We're busy finalizing reports that we may even turn into technology products that we can utilize elsewhere in the world to earn revenue for the country and for NEXA. In doing this, we've developed a wet route for the recovery of the uranium from silicide target plates. A number of contracts for manufacturing and demonstration of our plasma waste-to-energy process have been entered into to leverage our capability to utilize white heat in turning waste, which is, could be domestic waste, into energy. This is a breakthrough from NEXA that is allowing for our capability to assist municipalities and other entities in South Africa to access energy from recycling waste. The Technology Innovation Agency, which is an agency of the Department of Science and Technology, has approved a sum of just under $7 million to apply and utilize it in clinical trials in terms of ensuring that we can develop new drugs that can diagnose and treat cancer. these funds will be utilized in a period of just over a year to 18 months to ensure that we have clinical trials completed. The next highlight that we have relates to a fluorine 18 feliprid that we are using in medical research related to the effect of drugs on brain activity. Because as you know, when you monitor brain activity, you can learn quite a few things about the health or otherwise of the human body. This we are participating in a program with a sister organization, Itemba Labs, here in Cape Town, in order to be able to roll out a new way of treatment of cancer. We have a new 6-year advanced material initiative program contract with the Department of Science and Technology, which will ensure that we can beneficiate more of our critical metals, especially the advanced metals such as palladium and zirconium, etc. And as we beneficiate these materials, we learn more and more about how we can enter the first world economy in terms of utilization of our own resources. Because, Chairman, we need to change the structure of our economy. We're not a colonial economy any longer. We cannot dig up things from the ground and send them to Europe to be beneficiated and then we buy them at exorbitant prices. That has to stop. And these programs that we are busy with are allowing us to be able to do that. At the beginning, it's in a small way, but it might just start to be a snowball that is growing. The theoretical side of NEXA that deals with nuclear physics has developed a program called OSCAR 4. It was OSCAR 1, now it's OSCAR 4 that we use to predict the performance of research reactors. We're seeing a take-up of this program happening elsewhere in the world, such as in the Netherlands and in Belgium. We are now focusing also on the highly efficient utilization of microfocus X-ray. We call it microtomography, but it's simply X-ray photographs that you get when you have a broken bone you get in a hospital. But when you want to see much more finer aspects, you need microfocus X-ray photography. Which you can use not only in human bones, but also in materials that are utilized in the in industry. NEXA is undertaking training of 108 interns as we speak, as part of our contribution towards the National Human Capital Development Strategy. These interns were placed within different departments at NEXA to ensure that they gain valuable experience and they can be released into industry. And some of them we retain, of course. The next highlight of the, now I'm going into the highlights of 2015-16, NEXA continues to play an integral role in the NSI, the National System of Innovation, in terms of the Advanced Metals Initiative, the Fluorine Expansion Initiative, and the INTEMBI, which is Nuclear Technology and Medical Science Biosciences Initiative. That all these programs are in partnership with the Department of Science and Technology, which is embedding the kind of activities that we are utilizing. Contract Research Organization was appointed to undertake phase 1 and 2 clinical trials on the use of cisplatin. For preclinical trials, ethical approval was obtained from the Northwest University, who provide the animals. In addition to this, approval is also obtained from the Directorate of Radiation Control, only when radioactive materials are used. We will be doing these preclinical trials on small animals, of course, in
with all regulations and rules of the Republic of South Africa. Further development of the ESCOM 4 systems is continued in the 2015-16 period, and we are able now to model the fuel inventory replacement tool. The neutron diffraction project team were selected as finalists in the National Science and Technology Forum, NSTF Awards, in the category of research leading to innovation by teams or individuals in organizations. We are very proud of this recognition, Chairman. The first results were achieved from irradiation of detector material for the ATLAS detector for the Large Hadron Collider. This, I must just decode this, Chair. This is a project that is done at CERN, and the ATLAS detector project is led by Manchester University in the UK, and they brought material to ourselves to irradiate in the Safari 1 reactor and to analyze to show the performance of the material that is being utilized at CERN. CERN happens to be at the border of France and Switzerland in Europe. So we're contributing to an extremely important program of an international nature. The microfocus X-ray based tomography that I spoke about earlier is being operated now highly efficiently at Nexa. And we're looking for contracts with industry to ensure that we can apply this microfocus to be able to beneficiate more and more of our materials. We filed a patent for a new synthesis route for the production of phosphate pentafluoride, which is a useful industrial chemical. This product is used for the synthesis of lithium-ion batteries, a material for lithium-ion batteries. This contributes, Chairman, to the effort to allow for storage of electricity coming out of renewable energy. As nuclear scientists, we are not against renewable energy. We work to assist that area. And this is our contribution in this area. We're starting a collaboration with the Argonne National Laboratories in the U.S. to expand this work that we're doing. This work at NEFSA is done by very young people, two doctoral graduates who are less than 30 years old. So we will have a view into the future, and then we will be able to participate in this area for longer than the period that is left for people like myself to work. NEXA undertook the training of 90 interns as part of our contribution towards the human capital development strategy. These interns are in the department of NEXA. We continue to have them and to nurture them so that we can utilize them in other programs such as the Interbuild program. In a difficult local and global economic climate, Pelchem, a subsidiary of NEXA, managed to undertake significant refurbishment of its HF plant. And the HF plant at Pelchem contributes to the production of petrol and diesel by all the refineries in South Africa. We sell HF to all the refineries in this country. If Pelchem is not operating, you have to import at great cost HF to the refineries. We continue to supply this, and we've done the refurbishment to ensure that we are sustainable in this area. NTP has made good progress in projects aimed at removing current production capacity bottlenecks, because there is an opportunity now to enter into higher and higher production volumes because of certain changes in the market. Chair, I will talk about our alignment to directives of the NDP and the directives of SOMA, of the 2016 State of the Nation Address. In terms of the NDP, the first priority area is providing quality health care. NTP radioisotopes produces medical isotopes, some of which are utilized
in the South African health system for diagnostic and cancer treatment. This is a statement that simply says there is no private hospital group in South Africa that does not utilize NTP radioisotopes. We supply it to public health institutions, especially teaching hospitals such as Charlotte Macaulay, Heidelberg, and Steve Biko Academic Hospital. In doing this, we are contributing to quality health care in the Republic. The next priority area that we contribute strongly in is an economy that will create more jobs and improving quality of education, training, and innovation. In this regard, NTP and Pelchem, which are subsidiaries of Nexa, produce sales on world markets to contribute to South African balance of payments. Apprenticeship training offered by Nexa Skills Development Center at the end of June 2016 is 150 full-time students, and in the decentralized trade test center, 77 apprentices are undergoing trade test preparation, and 66 are undergoing artisan trade test. 40 students are enrolled at the Radiation Protection Training Center. We would like to increase this, except that the resources are limited, and we will increase on a steady basis. It can be a doubling of the numbers overnight. As at the end of June 2016, the graduate in training program has 5 students, 78 interns employed as part of Nexus internship program, postgraduate research project support for 26 students. These are post-honor students, 16 PhD students, and 10 master's students. All of these are doing projects at Nexa, and Nexa personnel are overseeing their learning. The next priority area for NDP that we contribute to is expanding infrastructure. Nexa has embarked on several key infrastructure projects, including security of supply for low-enriched uranium, low-enriched fuel and target plates. Nexa is looking at a commercial production research reactor, which would be a follow-on to Safari 1. The nuclear fuel cycle project is taking off. We are ensuring that we are able to do conversion, and we can do fuel fabrication. We're busy finalizing business cases in this regard. As the chairman of Nexa indicated, we have achieved the ESME 3 and ESME 8 USTEM certification. We have the NSTEM for the design and manufacture of highly efficient materials for utilization in nuclear energy. Preparations for a project rice water reactor fuel component manufacturing facilities are continuing. The Minister of Energy officially launched the Nexa Vista Center in February 2011 to assist in improving public understanding, and the utilization of this center is increasing on an annual basis. The next priority area is transitioning to a low carbon economy. NDP says the low carbon economy is a target for South Africa. In this regard, we recognize that nuclear energy can play a very important and vital role in reducing South Africa's greenhouse gas emissions, as well as the importance of raw material beneficiation for the South African economy. South Africa in the region and the world, that's another priority area of NDP. Nexa continues to be extensively involved in technical cooperation program of the International Atomic Energy Agency's African Regional Cooperative Agreement for research, development, and training related to nuclear science. In this regard, we continually train young and not so young people coming out of African states. We give them training in our center, and in our universities, we bring them to Cape Town to ensure that while they are being trained, they can enjoy the environment that we have around here. Next, I will be undertaking a mission to Brazil for conditioning of and safe disposal of still high activity radioactive sources. This is in conjunction with the US of A, where they are paying for the activity of removing stranded radioisotopes in Brazil. This is a contribution within the region and the world. The directives from the SONA chairperson are very much linked to the commercial production reactor that Nexa is working on purchasing, the nuclear fuel cycle front end that Nexa is working on resuscitating, manufacturing using our ESME3 certification, localization, bringing capability back into our industry to be able to manufacture and beneficiate and also provide services for itself. And of course, the skills development that is related to this chair. In terms of the NEXA performance, in 2014-15, and I'm going through here the predetermined objectives that NEXA is working on. Performance of the Safari 1 reactor was the availability was exceeded. In terms of target. The Pelchem net profit after tax predetermined objective was not achieved, and this is largely due to the market conditions as well as the positioning that Pelchem is starting to gain. The NTP net profit after tax PTO was not achieved, and this relates to how ambitious we are in terms of increasing production at NTP. We keep pushing ourselves, and our PDO PDO is becoming tighter and tighter, and we need to achieve that on an ongoing basis. But in 2014-15, it was not achieved. Performance on the establishment on the established sustainable supply of LEU fuel and target-based PDO was met. In fact, it was exceeded. Performance on the stage one D&D program execution was exceeded. This is despite the fact that during the 2014-15 year, there was a strong dispute between our auditors and NEXA. We continued to perform under this PDO regardless of those disturbances. Performance on the public dose impact was exceeded. As a target. Disabling injury incident rate was not achieved. This was primarily because there was an unfortunate incident of a fatality at Pelchem during the previous year, which means that whatever you do, you're starting from a bad foot because there was this unfortunate fatality. NEXA external sales was not achieved. If you're not achieving market penetration, you're not going to achieve additional sales as we have put for yourselves. The performance of the innovation disclosures was exceeded as a target. These innovation disclosures are simply outputs of research where we are saying we have an innovation now. And then we can focus on commercializing that. Performance on the number of refereed research articles in international journals was exceeded. And of course, we always focus on technical staff as a percentage of the total. We did not achieve this as we were not appointing young people as quickly as we wanted in that year of 2014. Performance of the black technical staff as a percentage of all technical staff was exceeded as a target, as we are continuing to transform the composition of the technical component of NEXA. For the 2014-15, NEXA achieved 9 out of its 13 predetermined objectives, which were included in the shareholders' compact with the minister. Now we're going to the performance of 2015-16. Safari 1 operational availability was exceeded as a target. The performance on the Telkom net profit after tax was exceeded as a target. Performance on the NTP net profit after tax was exceeded as a target. You can see a clear improvement if you compare these three with the previous year's performance. And I'm not going to go through all of these performance targets. At the end, we know that for 2015-16, Nexa achieved 10 of its 13 predetermined objectives, which were included in the shareholders' conference. Now, we're going to the Nexa group of companies, audited annual financial statements. We'll be talking finance, and I'll ask the Chief Finance Officer, with your permission, Chair, to review the finance presentation. Is it all right, Chair?
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chair, Minister, and honorable members. Financial statements consist of a statement of financial position, a statement of comprehensive income statement of changes in equity, and statement of cash flows. That's what constitutes the financial statements. I will start by focusing, by just highlighting the outcome of the audit, highlighting areas that the AG has emphasized, in other words, drawing the reader's attention to, and then I'll conclude very briefly on the actual financial statement. They say figures go in the absence of, I take it the members have got the same page numbers, so in the absence of that, I may refer to the page numbers of the presentation. And the outcome, Nexa achieved for both years, 2015 and 2016, unqualified audit results. Technically speaking, from auditing standards, and we have four of these from worst to good, would have a disclaimer, an adverse opinion, qualified and unqualified. So, Nexa achieved unqualified for both years. However, there were areas that the AG has drawn attention to what we call matters of emphasis. Two areas, that is irregular expenditure and going concern. I'll have to explain the irregular expenditure, Chair. The irregular expenditure came about as a result of an assessment that was conducted by the AG on the bids that go out to bidders. In other words, when you invite bidders to bid for whatever bid, you have got to put functional criteria, etc., on the bid. This is in terms of the preferential procurement regulations, and in particular, section 4.3c, which says the functionality criteria must be clear and specific. So, over the period, we have been applying the template that captures that particular area in terms of functionality criteria, etc., as next over all these years until 2014-15, when the AG, in his assessment, concluded that it was not as clear and as specific as it could be. We just highlight that over the years, the same methodology was applied. Audited and it was found to be not except for 14-15. In our engagement with the AG on this matter, we had to go to National Treasury to establish their view as experts on the supply chain, to which the response we got from the National Treasury was that Section 4.3c of the Preferential Procurement Regulations in itself, in its current form, is ambiguous. In that, they indicated that in the new draft of the PBR, Provincial Procurement Regulations, 4.3c will be removed. But having said that, The AG says that at this point in time, at that point in time when they were auditing, the applicable legislation was 4.3c, and according to them, it was not GAN specific. So why I'm highlighting this factor? Because all our bids were conducted according to that particular methodology. So if you say that all these bids are not clear and specific, then you conclude that those transactions are irregular. Hence, in 1415, you find that the regular expenditure is quite high, 1415. So you really, when you go to 1516, it will be 4 months of that. The reason being, when they report it in 1415, they start auditing in May, June, July, then they have got the funding, whereas from April to June to July, we were still using the same methodology as we were using in 1415. So for those 4 months, you will see that there is a lower irregular expenditure because it's the same issue that was at hand. So we had to adapt, despite the issues that we had raised with AG, our methodology to be in line with what the AG wanted, such that recurrence was prevented in this regard. So, just to clarify again, there were no financial losses, no financial misconduct. Nexa had full benefit in terms of the value of the services that were rendered. It was only the difference in interpretation that mainly resulted in that particular finding of irregular expenditure. Now, the second one is the going concern. The going concern, as a matter of emphasis, the AG said, whilst we made profit, that is accounting profit of 8 million, the net operating loss was 82.6 million. And that the operating loss is the key in terms of determining how operational we are performing. Therefore, based on that, the AG concluded that there is an issue that we must focus on in terms of the financial sustainability of Nexa. Basically, between the two, the bottom line is the difference between the income and spending overs and expenditure. But between the two, expenditure is well controlled, Chair. It can be seen in the figures, or just referred to the figures just now. It's well under control, but revenue is not growing as in the manner in which it will cover all the operating losses that we have suffered. So our focus is, as it is at the moment, on growing that part of the equation, which is revenue. Finding that as per the Act, Nexa is funded from two sources, being government grants and external commercial revenue. Government grant, also on the slides of the members of board, have been reducing significantly over the period in real terms. In other words, previously it used to be around 50-50 when we were splitting between grants and commercial income and external revenue. Now it is at 35. In other words, 35% grant and 65% external revenue. That's just the reality of the situation. Further, in 2014 and 2015, 2016, in a drive by National Treasury to cut costs, 66 million was reduced from the grant from next year. So that being the case, ours was a break-even situation. When you take 66, it's quite a significant cut that impacts negatively on our outcome. But having said that, all the drive the strategies that are in place are intended to focus on product development and commercialization. As an IP related type of an environment, we know that such transactions do not just bear result like when you're selling a product. So there's a product development, it takes a bit of time, and you get to a situation where you commercialize it, and then you reap the rewards. That strategy is in place, and I think the CEO has highlighted most of the projects that are on the run in that particular space. So the going concern, Chair, was came about to be emphasized from that perspective. In terms of I would like to highlight the third area, I think it's note 45 in the annual report, which is the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure are two areas where there is for a group, which is Nexa and subsidiaries. Two areas. The one area under Nexa, previously, which is a smaller portion of the whole, the controls were not as tight when somebody resigns from the organization. In other words, when somebody resigns, you will ensure that everything that is owed is collected, is recouped there and then, etc., etc. So, after which those controls were put in place, but until those amounts are condoned by the board, there will always, in terms of the requirement of accounting, there will always be an PFMA, it will always be reflected as an indication. In 15-16, the only amount that was incurred as a result of someone not having sufficient in the last salary and bonus, not being sufficient enough to cover the study loan that she had, 4,000 rand in terms of Nexa. The big amount there was in our subsidiary NTP, where it is 564 because the ordered material and the usage was, it wasn't ultimately all used due to differences in product specification which came about as a result of product specification which went in. So from that end, Chair, those were the two areas in the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that we're talking about, which will not be drive our with our drive, it won't be there in the following year for sure. Now going to the actual financial, Chair, for me, I think it is a slide, but before I do that, there are graphs that are indicating what I was talking about in terms of the split between of grants versus channel revenue being exposed to the normal commercial risk and inherent risk that are given there as opposed to grants. As an example, in total, in terms of the group, government grant, it was 18%. At the group level, total government grant was 18%, so 72% in terms of the group. When it comes to Nexa, the corporate, as I said earlier, is 35%, 65% revenue. And then splitting the sales between foreign and local, at the group level, 66% is foreign, which is a good good way in terms of earning foreign currency, and only 34% is local in terms of how where we generate our revenue at the group level. Of course, at Nexa Corporate, it's just not that 17-83% in terms of sales. I'll quickly, or before that, the group expenditure share, just focusing on the personal cost as a percentage of total cost, 35%. Of total, which is a good indicator, and a good measure, given that Nexa by its nature is research and development, which means the biggest asset you have is your skilled personnel that will be doing the research. But however, the personnel cost as a percentage of total cost is 35% in that regard. Then, just lastly, I'll focus on the slide 80, Chair, on the Nexa Company Group performance, Nexa Company and Group performance, which is showing in a very summarized fashion the performance of the company as well as group. If you look at the revenue side, you see that at the company level, it grew by 39 million. And if you go down and look at the operating expenditure, you see that the expenditure grew by 27 million. Hence the point that expenditure is well under control, but we need to be growing revenue much more aggressively than we have achieved. the danger of controlling the expenditure too aggressively is that that which we're supposed to spend to generate revenue, we end up also controlling and not spending, and then self-defeating in some areas. So we are mindful of that, and those are the balls that we must juggle when we're trying to increase our revenue, whilst maintaining controls on the expenditure side. At the group level, I've just already indicated, at company level, that our accounting profit was 80, whereas our operating profit was 83 million. But at the group level, 2016, 327 profits, whilst 2015 was 33 million. So the group level was note must be given of the D&D, the commissioning and decontamination, as well as the quality aftercare, which liabilities had to be incurred by the company all at once, which is for over a period of years. They were not raised, so they were raised all at once, and therefore they impacted us negatively in this regard. That's the one that the chair also highlighted, because the delay in the 14-15 was about all those issues related to those areas. Chair, in that regard, I think I'm going to just last part on slide 35 is about cash. I cannot talk about cash. That we have got three categories there. There's an extra cash, and then the general third party, and then there's ring fence. The 263 million cash there, 17 is Nexa, 228 is there are Nexa activities, ring fence, and third party is 8 million there. However, if you look at the financials, you see that there is an overdraft that is showing this, and that overdraft, as a result of those pressures that I highlighted earlier, was taken in April of financial year, the new one that was in, it was all paid back. 60 million overdraft was paid back. That impact of those areas that I've highlighted will still take some time to wrap around in order to get it back to our normal targets that we have. I think I'll have to stop there, Chair, by concluding that basically, in terms of the outcomes, Nexa achieved qualified audits for both 2015 and 2016. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And that's all. Thanks.
I'll take questions. Minister, just I have questions from the honourable members. just a comment with regard to what I said when we received the annual report from the Department of Energy the other Wednesday. With regard to what the Auditor General says, firstly, I think that we must say the Minister must be commended for having put together the Board of Tax and what looks to us to be quite a highly capable board. Would remember last year at this time, the situation looks very negative with regard to that. So we've now covered 2 years, and the outcomes as unqualified audit. This is what the AG says in the overall, because for purposes of the us here, the portfolio committee, the AG says in this portfolio, in the energy portfolio, over the last 3 years, there's been an improving trend when it comes to audit outcomes. So they note that three of the entities, including the Department of Energy, fall under the category of clean audit. We think, having looked at what the Auditor General says about SANEDI and NECS, that it is highly possible in the next financial year that those two can be included in the category of clean audits. It's an issue that we think the Department of Energy should focus its attention on. I'm sure members are going to ask their questions. The issue of irregular expenditure is quite clear from what has been said that it's been resolved. It's the going concern issue that I think requires some more attention, at least from what the Auditor General says, so that it doesn't recur in the next financial year. So in broad terms, it has got to be said that as a portfolio, we must recognize what the Auditor General says in terms of that improving trend over the last 3 years, and we hope going forward it is something that will be sustained. Honorable members, just with that open comments, can we have your questions? I noted Honorable Mackay, Honorable Van Dalen, Honorable Mahambehla. In that order, thank you very much. Honorable Mackay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we need to acknowledge the important work that NECSA does as a repository of scientific knowledge within our country. And so NECSA needs to function as a company within the state and entities within the stables. But we must express deep concern that for as long as we've been on this committee in the fifth parliament, somewhere in the annual report there's a statement that says very difficult market conditions must be blamed for NECSA's inability to commercialize its operations. And at some point, Chair, we have to ask ourselves, is it always the fault of the ocean, or is it at some point we have to look at the captain of the ship? And specifically, we have to look at the current CEO, who has been accused of leaving the potential replacement of Safari 2 too late. We are facing significant international competition in the medical isotope space, specifically as multiple countries are planning to come online, specifically ranging from Canada to Bolivia to Egypt to Nigeria. There is staunch competition entering this market, which will fundamentally undermine NECSA's ability to compete competitively in this space continuously. We're also aware that there's been no single year in this parliament where NECSA has been profitable. The CEO has been at war with his previous board, where the board was suspended, he was suspended, then his board was suspended, then he was suspended. Again, the investigation into why those suspensions took place has never been made available to this committee. And for up until the minister's most recent replacement of the board, NECSA was a deeply troubled organization. There have been continuous staffing issues at NECSA, ongoing, which have been tried to be explained away as you know, anti-transformation issues or counter-transformation issues, but these persist and continue and create a instability at NECSA. Chair, we also have to note that beyond the AG's comments on the financial sustainability of the organization, there are also very serious complaints around leadership and the overall corporate governance of NECSA. Specifically, there's a very long page in the AG's report, most recently, where there's a long list of corporate governance failures, relating from strategic planning to financial, the provision of financial statements, to expenditure management, to procurement and contract management, to responding to enabling legislation, overall leadership concerns, and obviously the concerns around it being an ongoing and long-term viable sustainability organization. So, Chairman, we must ask ourselves, is the current CEO is on a month-to-month contract the correct man to be leading this organization? And my question, I suppose, Chair, is also how much did the CEO earn in the last two financial years? So not only has he not succeeded in commercializing NECSA in the, what's it, I think he was appointed in 2012, it's now 2016, we've not seen a vast improvement in the commercialization of its operations, and yet we have still the same CEO operating, still making the same failures. We're not seeing rapid improvements in the long-term sustainability of what is a vital and important organization or state-owned entity in our country. So, Chairman, at some point we have to hold someone accountable, and that person who has to be accountable has to be the CEO. And at some point, some answers are going to have to flow around why the CEO is still within his position, considering his manifold failures within this regard. Chair, to the Minister, if she can please provide us with some insights into the investigation that was conducted in the board. My written attempts to her office to ascertain this report and the information have not been forthcoming. Chair, I must say that I also find it quite troubling at the timing of signing a deal with any kind of Russian company. It would be very helpful for us to know which Russian company had signed a deal, considering that South Africa is going to a tender process around a nuclear new build program. We can expect that any companies that are signing deals with Nexa at this current point might be trying to curry undue favour. And it would be very helpful, considering the manifold corporate governance failures at Nexa, if the board and the CEO and the chairman could provide us with some assurance that this is not specifically the case. Chairman, we also have to be quite clear that Nexa's long-term sustainability is deeply intertwined with the nuclear new build program. And therefore, we cannot rely on Nexa for necessarily a frank assessment of nuclear. You know, Dr. Kim is quite a proponent of nuclear in all forms. Ask Dr. Kim any question, and the answer is nuclear, and the positive goes for it. But can Nexa confirm for us that, in fact, its long-term sustainability is deeply intertwined with the new build program, specifically considering how are they planning to procure a new nuclear reactor, considering that their financials are appalling? How are they going to acquire a new nuclear reactor? How will the tender process take place? Who will sit on the tender committee? How will that be constituted? Who will form it? And exactly how are they planning to leverage their financials to make the purchase of a new nuclear reactor possible? Because as we are now, where Eskom will take over the commercial build of the commercial aspects, but the research reactor will now fall back to someone else to have to fund. Is the department going to fund it? Is Nexa going to fund it? Is the state going to fund it? Because at the moment, I don't possibly see how, in terms of these financials, Nexa could possibly hope to finance this themselves. Chair, I must say I'm deeply concerned to hear the financial director saying that he does not view Nexa's future generation of revenue sufficient to meet its financial sustainability obligations, which again comes down to how this organization plans to commercialize itself, what needs to be done, what knife do we need to take to what parts of the business to make this a long-term sustainable business within South Africa. Chairman, also, if we could also just get the figure for the operational losses, possibly not today, but in writing, for the last five-year period, so that we understand with the reference point what the operational losses look like over time, so that we can actually get an aggregate picture. Because it's one thing telling us we have a clean audit, or unqualified audit, but fundamentally, how much has this organization cost the taxpayer in the last 5 years? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Seeing that Nexa has not been here for 2 years, I have some questions that are more of a technical nature and maybe a little more practical. I want to ask, has there been any security breaches at Pelindaba after the 2009 attack on Pelindaba? If you can answer that, I would be very happy. And has there been any radiation incidences in these two financial years under review? I know in 2010 some people were arrested with nuclear material at the garage. We never heard the outcome of that. The source of it was never found. Maybe you can allay our fears and say that you have found it, or that the investigations have found it. And then also that the Auditor General said that the board was not constitutionally was not constituted as contemplated by the Nuclear Act Section 16. Is it now in fact right? Has it been constituted properly? And then in your report you said that you achieved on page 14 most of the targets as agreed in your shareholder compact, and yet the Auditor General comes here and tells us that you don't have a shareholder compact with the Minister. It's one of the things he pointed out in his report. So who's lying here? Are you lying or is he lying? Why haven't you told the AG that he can't write something like that in his report if it's not true? So who are you misleading? Please tell me that. And then what is the future plan for the stockpile of the highly enriched uranium that is still held at Pelindaba, that was left over from the dismantling of our nuclear bombs that we had pre-1994. And, you know, what are the future plans for it? It can't just stay, it can't just sit there. I see you are talking about decommissioning and decontaminating. Is that part of the plan? Is that what we are paying for, the 3.9 billion rand? Is that part of it? And then, what has happened to the intellectual property of the abandoned pebble bed modular reactor? Do we still have possession of that? Have we sold it? Where is it at? And you know about the pebble bed modular reactor? I hope you obviously do. And then another point that I raised 2 years back is at, do we have monitors at all the exit and entry points in South Africa, at the airports and harbors, where we can actually pick up nuclear or radioactive material leaving or entering the country? Because there were some incidences where scrap that were radioactive landed up in a scrapyard in Cape Town, apparently came from Namibia. Do we now have fixed that problem? Do we have sensors there that can pick up people that are carrying goods that are radioactive or nuclear material? And then the last question I wanted to ask, you say that part of your mandate is to procure, to manage the procurement process of the nuclear new build program. Now that has been handed over to Eskom now. How does that affect you? If I understand it correctly, can you just explain how it is now going to work? It's been taken away from the Department of Energy. It's just now with Eskom. They are now going to do the procurement of that. If I'm right, if I'm wrong, please tell me so. And then you also said in your slides that you, part of your job will be to procure and to manufacture the fuel cycle for the new build program, if I'm correct. Has any of your dealings been with the Gupta uranium mines that they have acquired? And what is your dealings with that? If you can please explain that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation of the report. I heard that it's a summary, but the quality of a summary does not make me comfortable at all. I think I should raise that. I have a few questions. One, the chairperson presented a number of things. And in his statement, he said that people worry about the things they don't know or don't understand at all when he referred to the nuclear build program. Now, the responsibility of making people aware on nuclear lies with you. Now, I want to know, what have you done to demystify the things we know about that we talk of in the public domain around the issue of the nuclear build? What activities that you have undertaken to demystify nuclear as people who are capable? Nuclear does not belong to you. It belongs to the people of South Africa. Now, once we understand that aspect, we will be able to inform them as such. Now, what programs do you have in place to deal with what you've raised here today?
Chair, I looked at the performance report. 2014-2015, slide slide 13, slide 14. It's just a copy and paste of the first, which was written, and then copied to the 15 and 16 performance and so on and so forth. I don't know what was the rationale behind that copy and paste. Probably there will be an explanation of, coincidentally, so the performance of 2014, 2015, it is exactly the same like that of 2015, 2016. Now, I really need that explanation of coincidence. How has it happened? However, there's a number of things which are not achieved here, and there is no explanatory report on why, for an example, Pelcam net profit after tax was not achieved. And then later on it was exceeded, and all this change, it is exceeded with about 26.65 million as per the research that we have. Now, what I want to understand, was this due to the exchange rate gains and reversal of assets impairments, which does not reflect on the financial report, and I don't know why is it omitted, because it involves lots and lots of money. And also, Nexa needs to explain to us what was really impaired, because it can't be just assets that are impaired. Was it as a result of that? That you have exceeded this Pelcam net profit after tax all of a sudden. The disability injury incident rate not achieved. Why? Why has not been achieved? Why has NNR not issued you with a license of SHEQ? Is it because of this or is it something else? So all these not achieved here, for me, they are not clear. Lines are blurred. Now, when we come out of this meeting, I think it's important that we know exactly why was all these things not achieved. In the financial report, Chair, I did not see a reflection of Pelandaba Enterprises financial year report with an operating loss of 39.5 million. And Nexa should explain the losses. And that should have reflected on the financial report, but I could not see it. Pelcam still faces significant financial challenges related to low sales, which are under pressure due to global economic factors, as well as the economies of scale, which significantly hammers its cost competitiveness. Now, you should explain in detail the challenges that are faced by Pelcam. You don't come here and give us a blank check. We need to know. And the nice thing is that when Mr. Myers explained, he said numbers don't lie. And really, numbers don't lie. Myself, I know that numbers don't lie. In our last meeting, Minister, with DOE, if you still remember the recommendations of who must be a role player when it comes to the nuclear bill program, which is supposed to still be taken to the cabinet. Next, I was part of those role players. Now, Safari 2 has been closed out, right? And then according to Next, the project has been closed out and is now going to be part of the nuclear build. meaning Gil is going to be in charge and be responsible of the coordination and everything else. Now, if NEXA is part of the role players on this nuclear bill program, does this mean you are taking back the SAFARA 2 responsibilities in terms of appropriate technical support and so on and so forth? But in my view, technically, you are. And that has to be addressed. And I think you are better positioned to address that aspect. Minister. Because the sourcing of appropriate technical support of SAFARA 2, we know what's the situation. It was reported long ago. So we need to also look into that. We don't take a project to DOE out of NEXA and then take it back to NEXA. We will be playing with our time and so on and so forth. I think those are a few issues which I have noted so far. Thank you. It's on page 6. The CEO minister, I think you are the person that will be able to. The last time we checked, the CEO was appointed on a month-to-month basis. Has that been resolved? Or is still on a month-to-month basis for 3 years? And what are the reasons for that? On the 5th of October, Chair, the CEO of NEXA stated that the Nuclear Energy Act prescribes that NEXA will be funded by both government grants and external commercial revenue it generates. He also emphasized that government grants have been diminished in real terms and now constitutes only 35% of the total income. And NEXA is now exposed to the inherent commercial risk and global economic realities. I need an explanation on that statement because it's worrisome. Now the CEO needs to unpack that statement as to what commercial risks that are there that NEXA might inherit, and what global economic realities that you referred to. We need to be empowered ourselves because knowledge is power, and be able to respond to Van Dalen when he asks questions here in the meeting ourselves. And whether it's a Gupta or a Rupert or a Stellenbosch Mafia that will be benefiting on this, that's not my worry. My worry is for NEXA and other role players to get the nuclear build program rolling. Many of us in South Africa, including some departments, long before 1994 were captured by the Stellenbosch Mafia and the Rupert, and they are still captured by those people. We are not going to talk about those things here in the committee because our mandate is very clear. We are sitting with the blue-eyed boys of the markets here in this committee defending their interest. We are not for that. We are for oversight. accountability, and so on and so forth. The obsession about Gupta is way off the mark.
And point
so
order, please. Can we stick to the annual report and continue with the annual report, please, Chair?
Whether...
Chair, I'm concerned that we are starting to veer away from the actual work of the committee, which is to focus on the annual report. I didn't see the Guptas mentioned in the report, nor the Stellenbosch Mafia, nor whoever else is on the hit list. Could you please stick to the list?
Honourable Van Dahl, indeed. I want to talk about that when she finishes, but can you finish?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Makhil probably suffering from amnesia. When his colleague talks, he listens, and when we respond, he listens in a different way. So, ourselves, we are not obsessed. Chair, can you protect me, please? Can I be protected?
Honourable Van Dahlen and Honourable Matala. No, Honourable Van Dahlen, please don't do that now, please. That's for the last time.
Chair, as I conclude, the procurement processes on the nuclear built program, Minister, like any other procurement processes in South Africa, they should not be different. As a committee, we can't be involved. We've never been involved in any procurement of anything in South Africa. Now, as to who benefits in building the city ICC or who benefited in building the city ICC, ourselves were not involved as government. Ours was just for oversight. Now, procurement processes should not differ from the ones that has been there, not unless the standards and the norms by Treasury have changed. That's what, hoping that you will not take the nuclear bill program to the Stellenbosch Mafia and the Ropets, but to the people who qualifies, and that will implement exactly what is needed to be implemented, including the vendor countries that you have started some work with, will also assist us as a country in implementing this elephant in South Africa. It's not in the room now, it's an elephant in South Africa, this thing of the nuclear belt. Thank you.
Why are we speaking for being
my apology, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, we thanks very much for the questions. I think we have very good questions pertaining to the briefing we've received. And I want to urge you that let's not get distracted by the other parts of the discussion we're having. Please. Because otherwise we are not going to be able to focus on the key questions that have been asked, and they are many. Very important questions, we must go through those because we're trying to help NECSA carry out its mandate. So please, I urge you, when we find time, I'm sure we can have that discussion during the tea break. Otherwise, this is not going to be helpful to what we're trying to do in the committee. Please, I really would like to urge you. Minister, there are a few questions that were addressed to you, so and then we can hand over to the chair and the rest of the NECSA team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The question which was addressed to me on the board, the investigation made a recommendation that the new board be constituted, which has happened. I'll hand over to the rest of the team.
Thank you.
Thank you for the questions, Chair. I'm going to go through and just answer a few and then pass it to my colleagues. With reference to Honourable Mackay's questions, comments about the medical isotopes, the medical isotopes are very important. We're in a position that we believe that we can make it to the number one slot in the world within about a year or so, and we're working towards that. But as he pointed out, we're very conscious of the fact that there's obviously a number three, a number four, a number five. So we need to be aware that there's competition from under us coming up and not just us going forwards. It is a very lucrative market, and it's set to expand dramatically around the world. Right now, the therapy side is at its infancy. The first part is the diagnosis. We've also been talking about moving out into other African countries. These are discussion stages, but they're planned. But certainly the therapy is terribly important. There's, for example, another isotope that's actually made in Cape Town, of which there are only four companies in the world that are capable of making this. Two are in Russia, one is in Germany, and then one is in Cape Town. So what we've got to do is have a much more market-orientated state of mind to go out and make money, which has not been that much the case in the past. So it's important. That links to the reactor referred to Safari 2, which we've started calling the commercial production reactor as against research reactor, because that's not really a correct term. There's various types of reactors. We've been looking into different types with a couple of other countries. We know what we want. It was said by the Honourable Member that Safari 2 is late. I agree. I wish we'd had it running a year or two ago, and I would hope that we'd get it running as soon as possible. Because obviously at the moment, we've got essentially all our eggs in one basket. If something goes wrong with this reactor, we can be offline. And isotopes are made 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as the CEO said earlier, we're proud of the fact that we achieved greater than 100% of production target last year. Incidentally, this reactor, Safari, is considered by the world to be the most effectively utilized reactor of its class in the world. So we would like to go ahead with that with all haste. As far as the export was concerned to the Russian company, the company is called Tenex, T-E-N-E-X. We have been exporting to them. We're proud of that. We would like to go into any business relationship with anybody where we can supply. We have also been supplying fuel element parts to South Korea for a couple of years now, so this is not the first one. There are others as well. We've also been having discussions recently with Argentina and others as well with various collaborations. So we want to be open for business, anybody, anywhere that wants almost anything, particularly in view of us having the N stamp and so on. We'd like to see what we can do. And as I said earlier, not just using the staff at Pell and Darbo, but us using our expertise to find centers of expertise around the country that we can bring into a network. With in mind, NECs are making profit out of this. In the past, people have been too generously minded and have gone and helped and not said, where's our income? It was said that I'm a great proponent of nuclear. I am. I'd like to make it also clear that I never, ever, once, ever said I'm opposed to solar or wind power, for example. I said solar and wind has its place. So I'm sometimes accused of being anti those. I'm not. Solar and wind has its place. I just don't believe they're going to run electric trains from one city to another, as will happen with nuclear power. And I think South Africa's got a lot to brag about in our nuclear achievements. We're one of the oldest nuclear countries in the world. We predate France, we predate Japan, we predate many others in the business. So we have a long history. The one question was, at the end, how much does the organization cost the taxpayer? I don't know. But one answer I can give again is relating to what I said a moment ago. We want to just be more aggressive now in making money. For example, in years gone by, South African motor cars used to have metal petrol tanks, and if your petrol tank rusted through, it was a great expense to put a new petrol tank in. All South African motor cars, I think right now, have plastic petrol tanks. All those plastic petrol tanks come from Nexa technology. People have become millionaires on manufacturing these plastic petrol tanks and supplying them around the country. I met one a while ago and chatted to the guy, and Nexa's made no money out of that. That development was inadvertently given away. The same with dust filters. Dust filters were developed as a result of the uranium enrichment program. South African dust filters are now used on electric locomotives in Australia, the United States, France. The South African Air Force has Nexa dust filters on all the helicopters. Ours were the first helicopters in the world that could fly low in very dusty conditions because of that. We've made essentially no money out of that either. Tractors all over the country have Nexa dust filters on the tractors. We should have been making a fortune out of that. So we now have a frame of mind to see if we can encourage people to take Nexa technology and commercialize it, but we want shareholding out of this. We want to cut. Moving on to Honorable Van Dalen. There's a number of things about security and whatever I'll leave to the CEO. The IP of the pebble bed reactor, there's IP that has been protected to some degree, but it's very difficult because what South Africa did as we developed the pebble bed reactor, we were considered the world leaders in the field of developing the Generation 4 reactor, and our people went around the world merrily bragging about what we'd done, which has given us huge international recognition. But it also means it's encouraged numbers of other countries to effectively start building their own pebble bed reactors, which is the case now. The others under development. South Africa developed the pebble bed reactor, and then it was essentially stopped. Technically, it's on hold, and that there's still a small PBMR team, a dozen or something. We also developed the fuel. The fuel is terribly important. It's a black ball about the size of a cricket ball with 9 grams of uranium in it. When the fuel was developed, it was sent to a number of other countries around the world for assessment. It's still under assessment now as we speak. The assessments came back a couple of years ago to say that this fuel was equal to the best nuclear fuel ever made by anybody anywhere in the world. And we're in a position to reactivate that quite quickly. We've had inquiries from a couple of foreign countries to import South African manufactured fuel, and we're looking towards that because there's a huge market there in supplying this fuel around the world. So that is sitting there again, waiting for some commercialization. We're also in a position to continue to build pebble bed reactors. Eskom has announced recently a return towards supporting a pebble bed program. But in fact, developments on a modified pebble bed continued in the Pretoria area for the last few years and gone quite far now in a position to be able to do that. Nexa has been having discussions with the people concerned about continuing to develop these reactors. A reactor like Kuburg, for example, is 2,000 megawatts. A pebble bed reactor is more like 100. So it's of the order of 5% the size. Pebble bed reactors don't need to be near large bodies of water like the ocean, so you can put them inland. It's my opinion that half the countries of Africa right now could acquire pebble bed reactors almost overnight. So the market for this is massive. The influence for us to be suppliers of these reactors around the world is massive. And being only 5% of the size, they can be deployed close to industrial areas and other African countries, for example. I mean, let's bear in mind the sizes of African countries in comparison to Europe. We've got to be careful not to keep using European standards in our minds. The distance from Pretoria to Cape Town is the same distance as Rome to London. So when one talks about putting a grid across some of these countries before they start having large-scale electricity, that's not the right way to think of it. You should rather think of a radial supply going out from a pebble bed reactor. There was a question about the procurement of the nuclear new build and Nexa's role. Nexa, from my understanding of what is unfolding, will be the agent related to the fuel procurement and development, which right now Nexa is involved with fuel, with the fuel we make. In the past, Nexa developed and manufactured fuel for the Safari reactor, which we still do, and we developed and manufactured fuel for Kuburg. one Pooberg pool element currently costs 40 million rand. We can redo that. We did it actually in a world record time. At the time when we developed that pool, one of the few countries in the world that was ever able to do it. And we have the know-how still basically for that to be reactivated. So that is something which we think is exciting and also a huge world market. The other questions, right, one of the issues was the appointment of the CEO, which quite correctly was pointed out, he's on a month-to-month basis at the moment as a result of decisions of the previous board. My board has recommended to the minister that we reappoint Mr. Shalani for a further 3-year term, and that is currently in the hands of the minister and cabinet committees that are responsible, so we await the results of that recommendation. We were just asked about will we take back the role of Safari 2. The answer is, well, yes, that's very much what we want to do. The Safari 2 is, we are looking at developing a very specific type of reactor for that, which we are capable of doing, and that is rather than the nature of Safari 1, which is called a research reactor, meaning that you want to be able to get at the radiation and to be able to get into that reactor in multiple different ways, so that you can put all sorts of things into it. The Safari reactor, incidentally, when we have nuclear medicine in the core and it's being made, when the nuclear medicine has been irradiated, it then goes underground from the reactor and travels to next door buildings where it comes up into the next door buildings and is then processed in cells for packaging for international distribution and so on. So with the Safari 2, you are very much more in mind to make a commercial production operation which will run hopefully 24 hours a day just producing nuclear medicine for worldwide export. So the reactor is likely to be much more compact and much more dedicated to a single purpose rather than the very wide-ranging purposes of the Safari 1. You know, just out of a bit of sideline interest, it just struck me now. Safari 1, for example, I'm sure members are aware of the famous Mrs. Claire's skull that was discovered in South Africa in the 1940s, I think it was. What happened with the Mrs. Blair's skull, it was being investigated by paleontologists at the University of Witwatersrand. They brought the skull to Nexa to use the Safari reactor to examine the skull. This was the first time in the world this had ever been done. The reactor was used to look into the skull, and the conclusions that they've come to in conjunction with the team in France is that Mrs. Blair's is in fact male, so it should be Mr. Blair's. Then another investigation, they were able to determine the age of the skull at the date of death, and it's younger than they anticipated. So now they're joking, he says, Master Blair. So the projection of the paleontologists now is they've been able to do this amazing work by, for example, taking nuclear beams and looking between the teeth and the bones of the skull to determine the age and the gender and things like this of the skull, which we think is quite amazing what they've been able to do. We can also analyze elephant ivory. We can tell you where an elephant walked, and that if it went north and ate a certain vegetation and went south and ate other vegetation, its tusks grow in rings like trees do. You can, with a nuclear method, read the rings and tell whether the elephant walked north, south, and when it was there, and so on. So you can identify a country of origin of a particular elephant. These types of things can be done. There are many of these which have got applications somewhere along the line. One's got to have a look at how do you actually make money or whose interests are there to do them at our own expense. We very much want to get the nuclear new build rolling. That was a very positive comment of the third question. I think that the nuclear new build is going to be highly beneficial for the country, not only the electricity that's produced, which we need. South Africa needs to look to doubling its electricity output, not cutting back. The cutting back stories we've heard for a while has been a temporary thing to get past the snags that there were with Eskom, but it's not a long-term objective to cut back on electricity consumption. So that'd be great, but over and above that is all the technology and the skills involved with the developments. And I emphasize that South Africans will be building the reactor, by far the largest part of it. You'll hardly see a foreigner around when the reactor is being built. So the potential for job creation and skills development and so on is great. And what it needs is a very significant nuclear frame of mind, which is something we're aware of and we're working on. You want people who are working on these nuclear technologies to be very proud of the fact and to do everything right. Because what the nuclear system of the world requires is that you've got to keep records essentially forever. And if something happens and a pump breaks in 30 years' time, they want to be able to come along and say, how exactly was that pump manufactured, what welding rods were used, under what conditions was it welded, and so on. So things like developing a record system that even if companies go bankrupt or merge or something, in 30 years' time you can find out who made the pump on what day, what welding rods, with what metal, and that type of thing is part of this ASME certification. It's not just technical, it's an administrative system of this nature as well. Any nuclear skill is very easily transferable elsewhere, for example, into aerospace and to petrochemicals. And so somebody who qualifies as a nuclear level welder will very readily get a job anywhere as a welder in aerospace, petrochemicals, or whatever. So the level to which you have to work in nuclear, not only as I say technically, but with the frame of mind to be proud of getting everything right all of the time is what we need to strive for. Finally, there were some comments, what have we done with demystifying? I think we need to do a lot more of that, because it's not just, as I said earlier, because of the mystique and the mystery that has been surrounding nuclear for a long time, there's a lot of wrong ideas around the world. So we're not starting on the level ground, so to speak. My image is we're starting standing in a hole that's more than waist deep already. There's been learner awareness programs. We've hosted schools at Nexa on a regular basis, weekly basis. There's been Science Week, like 18,000 visitors, 12,000 visitors during 2014, 2015. Children from schools, we've targeted universities and technicons. My colleague, the CEO, can give more details. There have been public meetings in areas like Attridgeville, 300 community members. We've been around, just recently spoke to the Eastern Cape government, spoke in East London, Port Elizabeth, Coho area, recently involved in Beaufort West, where there's uranium mining developments. I was asked about uranium mining. We've been Rand Easter Show, Education Week, ministerial outreach programs, and we believe impacted on more than something like 300,000 learners in the last few years. So a lot has been done, but we still need to do a lot more. So I agree entirely there that that's something that is very important. And fundamental concepts need to be brought to people, as well as telling them at school children level much more about nuclear to encourage them to go into the career or to be involved with related topics. I hope that gives some answer. CEO, come across over to you, please. Please go ahead.
Chair, attempt to answer the questions that are still outstanding. I'll revisit one. Why do a deal with a Russian company? I think the chair has started to answer this. The profitability of Nexa is based on us being able to supply services, equipment, and expertise to anybody that needs it. When I say anybody, within the confines of the Non-Proliferation Treaty and our own Nuclear Energy Act and the Non-Proliferation Act of 1993. Within those confines and boundary conditions, we trade with anybody. this is essentially something that we need to grow. As the CFO has indicated, our support from government is declining on a continual basis. It's no longer a straight line. It's almost an inverted exponential. Simply because we need more, we need to be doing more, and we are doing more with less. So we have this deal with the Russian company. We have a deal with the South Koreans. We do supply equipment, material, chemicals to the US of A, to Europe, to elsewhere in the world. So we are open for business. The question from Honorable Makai that says, is Nexus sustainability intertwined with the Mutual program? The answer is a clear and unequivocal no. It's not intertwined. But the new build program is very important for the Nexus life going forward. The Nuclear Energy Act gives NEXA clear mandates as far as the beneficiation of uranium is concerned, as far as being involved in the front end of the nuclear fuel cycle and the back end of the nuclear fuel cycle. It's quite clear these are the things we need to do. The Nuclear New Build Program gives the opportunity to be able to achieve those goals in a structured and a very nationally focused process, not just internal to NEXA. We will indeed give the answers to operational losses over the past 5 years in writing, as Honorable Makai has requested. Now I go to Honorable Van Gaal's questions. Have there been any security breaches within the past 3 years? The answer is no, there hasn't. We are very happy and pleased that this hasn't happened, but that has not made us complacent. We are busy, we've upgraded our security, and we continue to upgrade the security and the vigilance around the Nexus site, so that there aren't any security breaches. The nuclear material that was picked up at the garage, its origins was not from Nexa. Nexa analyzed the material and gave information to the police, and we collaborated with other entities elsewhere in the world to benchmark our answers. The police are still looking for the culprits, but as time passes, the chance of knowing who it was diminishes. I will not answer anything about the board. I think the minister has done so. What is the future plan for the highly enriched uranium? And the question went, is this part of the decommissioning and decontamination plan that we have? The answer is comes in twofold. The first part is the highly enriched uranium is a national asset. It's a state asset. NEXA does not make decisions about disposal or keeping of state assets. NEXA is an implementing agent of the state, and we will carry out instructions as given to us by the state. At the moment, there is no instruction to disposition or to even decommission this highly enriched uranium. The chair has answered the question, Chair, on the PPMR IP. The PPMR IP is essentially an IP that belongs to the state, and it is under the control of ESCOM. And we as NEXA control certain aspects of that IT. And the exploitation of it is definitely within our plans to do. In the short and medium term, we will be exploiting the PBMR IP going forward. It would be a pity to not do so. It would be wasteful, and it would be unacceptable for us not to utilize this IP. There was a question around the gantries around the ports that have a detection capability of nuclear material going in and out of the country. The Department of Energy is leading a project to install this capability within the gantries within the ports. It is not something that NEXA is doing at the moment, but we are aware of the activities that the Department of Energy is doing. There was a statement that the nuclear new build program has been, procurement has been given to ESCOM. There was a presentation, a very eloquent presentation by the minister to this committee not so long ago. I will not go through this one. Does NEXA have any relationship with the Gupta uranium mine? The answer is no. NEXA has no relationship with any uranium producer at this point. When we require uranium, we will procure it in the market. We will procure it within the gold production sector. We'll procure it from neighbors. We will procure it wherever it is available. We will not form relationships with a particular mine in this regard, because that will limit our capability to be competitive in terms of the price that we pay. Honorable Mohamed Lala asked a few questions. I note your concern, ma'am, as regards the quality of our summary. We will endeavor to improve it. I would want to have a discussion with you as to what you would like to see in our summary going forward. We do not want to be a disappointment in this. The chair has gone through the activities around the demystification of nuclear. It is a huge task. And what makes the task even more difficult is that we work in the nuclear environment. And sometimes when we talk about nuclear, statements such as when you ask somebody a question, any question, they'll say nuclear. Now, you can't demystify without being passionate and enthusiastic. You have to be passionate and enthusiastic. You have to provide concrete information. But it is a limitation that it's NEXA that has to do this only. We wish that there would be more entities that are doing this demystification of nuclear, so that the information is provided in various guises, in various versions, so that different people can understand. The complaint around the copy and paste around our performance slide. There is a level of copy and paste, which I'll admit to, and it arises because of this. Our predetermined objectives are the same from 2014-15 and 2015-16. The only changes that you will notice would be our actual performance. Our performance is different in the 2 years. So when you read the slides, you'll find that we talk about exactly the same thing at exactly the same point, and it appears like a copy and paste activity. We apologize for that, but I don't think we could have done it any differently, unless we would have put a table together that shows 2014-15 and 2015-16. I instructed that we shouldn't have a table like that. We should deal with them on a detailed basis to ensure that the committee gets the benefit of our presentation. Why did we not achieve the disabling injury rate target was the question. We did not achieve it because as a production plant, an HF production plant, hydrofluoric acid production plant, was being operated, an individual who was working there did not use the correct clothing and did not follow the correct procedures and ended up inhaling fumes from HF. Unfortunately, there was a fatality as a result of that. And the way we report a fatality or an incident like that, it stays in our reports for a period of 18 months. As we deal with the corrective measures, as we deal with the investigations by the Department of Labor, by our regulators, we keep that in our performance. And that's why you see us not achieving our disabling injury rate target. Our next presentation will not have this fatality carried through because the 18 months would have been gone. NNR was not involved in this because it's about chemicals. It was the Department of Labor, on the basis of the COIN Act, Compensation of Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act, and the OSH Act. It was not based on the National Nuclear Regulatory Act. Losses of Penindaba Enterprises. Penindaba Enterprise is a division of Nexa, it's not a company. So it does not prepare annual financial statements. So it's any losses that are accrued to Penindaba Enterprises will be reflected in the Nexa company books, because it's just a division. Now, let's focus a little bit on Pelchem's performance. The performance of Pelchem is a critical thing for us. Pelchem is a national asset that houses technology that the state wants Nexa to keep running. And to do this, we've taken the flow, our capability to handle fluorine, and expanded it into products that can be sold. We sell 25 products out of the country to over 27 countries on an annual basis, made by Pelchem. However, because we have so many products, and the capitalization of Pelchem when it was incorporated was not done with a lot of cash in. The capability to produce this product is based on very small boutique production facility. And because we're selling small amounts, the competitiveness is difficult when others have huge amounts. For example, we sell HF from Pelchem to Brazil. Occasionally, when there's overcapacity in China, the price drops, and our position in the market in Brazil diminishes to close to zero. That's just an example. Because we don't have the economies of scale, we have those problems. And so the project now is to increase the capacity of the production in Pelchem on key products. That's what we're focusing on now. We're working with the DTI and IDC to achieve that goal. Once the goal is achieved, it's not a one-month thing, an overnight thing. Once the goal is achieved in the next few years, we should be able to produce profitably at Pelchem, and Pelchem will be a competitive company. Commercial risks of Nexa. If these arise largely because our more than 65% of our revenue has to come from products and services that we sell. So we operating in the open market and competing with companies that are international in nature, global in nature, and so that brings in commercial risks. That if we are not competitive enough, we'll probably not be able to achieve our goals. But our competitiveness is being driven very hard. This is constitute a strong focus of the executive team. I think I've covered many of the questions, Chair. I will not venture to talk about Gupta, Rupert, or the Stellenbosch Fund.
Shouldn't have mentioned. Thanks very much. Dr. Kim.
Chair, I'd just like to take this opportunity on behalf of Nexa to congratulate South Africa for the appointment of the South African ambassador to Boho Sekolo as the chairman of the Board of Governors of the International Atomic Energy Agency for 2016-17. The last time South Africa chaired the International Atomic Energy Agency was 1959. So this is rather a proud moment for us. So we send our congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Honorable Sondalen, and followed by Honorable Mahalisa.
It was just a question I asked, and it was about the shareholder compact. Heard the answer. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I just didn't hear it, but I never heard the answer to that one. It was quite important, because they say they have one, the Auditor General say they don't have one. So is there one or is there not one?
No, Chair, a follow-up question to the CEO. Who is responsible for safety, health, environment, and quality systems? And do you have that license? If NNR was not involved in, as you responded to my question. Chairperson of Nexa, your activities on demystifying nuclear, they're high level, very high. You mentioned technicals, universities, and so on and so forth. An ordinary man and a woman on the streets of South Africa knows nothing about nuclear. And yet you are sitting here elaborating on a number of things that are of use and of importance to them. An ordinary person from Graborg, a Clay Newlyn, Moshua, Alice, you know, Gagasin, and so on, they know nothing about nuclear. And when they go to hospital, do radiology, it is as a result of nuclear energy, and they know nothing about that. When they have cancer, the medicines for cancer, they are, you know, manufactured out of nuclear high energy, you know, technologies, and they know nothing about that. And when you speak about the diagnosis and treatment of certain diseases that affects us as South Africans, they are out of nuclear energy technology. And those are the things that speak to ordinary South Africans. And you are demystifying nuclear at high level to whose satisfaction? Of the elite? Is that what the ruling party is all about? No. The ruling party is biased to the poor and ordinary people of South Africa. It's high time that when you demystify nuclear, you speak to them and what they are benefiting out of nuclear. That's what I mean when I speak about demystification of nuclear. When you speak about high school student and nuclear, you're only speaking to their careers. Only. Now, your demystification of nuclear, in my view, very high level. You must bring it to our level, the level of ordinary people of this country, because they are already beneficiaries of nuclear technology, nuclear systems, and so on and so forth. Now, you must start now, before these other ones continues with their, you know, fallacy on nuclear. We've been sitting and sitting and sitting and taking it and taking it for a very long time. We can only sit here in this setup and speak about nuclear and demystify nuclear, but you are the runners of the demystification of nuclear. Now, ordinary South Africans must understand that when a doctor refers you to an X-ray, that X-ray, it is out of the science of nuclear energy and their special equipment and so on and so forth. Myself, I understand it because I am able to read and I'm in this committee and I empower myself, you know, without waiting for anybody. Now, an ordinary South African must be told, if it means you must develop a booklet on this particular issue of demystifying, so that we see what the anti-nuclear activists are going to say. Whether they're going to say you are lying, radiology and radiation is not meant for any choice or any, you know, use of technology for different hospitals in South Africa, which is, be it an ordinary hospital or a medical hospital, you'll find these things there. It's not fallacy, it's a fact, it's a reality. Now, I think we need to focus on facts when we are demystifying nuclear and leave this thing of high-level programs and projects, you know, around the nuclear. I must know that this medicine that I'm drinking, it was out of a nuclear energy science. We don't know about those things. Now, I want to propose that you stoop to our level here of ordinary people of the country so that we will understand a nuclear properly. Otherwise, we won't understand it. If not all of us that are in universities, not all of us that are in science weeks, it's only our children that are there because we are able to afford to pay for them. You are called to a symposium at UWC and you get there, there's somebody from another country coming here to confuse our people. Because there's no information, people get confused. Now, we need to start that process. As we are moving forward with the nuclear build program, there must be a balance between ordinary South Africans and yourselves as people that will be implementing nuclear, so that when we go to our constituencies, we have booklets in different languages that speaks on this particular giant and the big elephant in South Africa, which is the nuclear build program. That's my submission, Chair, as you are smiling properly there. Thank you very much.
You know, I was thinking about the booklets in different languages. That's why I'm smiling.
Okay. I think that was very
good. Doctor, just a moment. I think there's another follow-up.
Honourable Makai,
why do you want to share?
I just wanted to ask the first time around the question that was not answered. That was not a follow-up question. It was just to make sure that the question was answered. I didn't know we were getting
that,
a follow-up round.
That part we did get. So are you...
I just want to ask something else.
Okay.
Sitting here and listening to what we have been told, Chairperson, We are supplying the world with isotopes that can cure people, not cure people, but they can radiate people and they can help people to get better. And you know, listening to all that, and we are supplying the world and we are getting money in dollars and pounds and people paying so much money for medical expenses, and this company is not making money. I don't understand it. I mean, it should be like a gold mine. We should be making lots and lots of money. You should be pouring money into the fiscus. I just don't get it. What is wrong? I mean, you've tried to say that you're like a charity case. You do everything for free, and the people, they don't, they don't charge for all of the things. But I mean, I don't understand that. We are supplying the world. We are one in four. We want to go to one, but we're not making money. I just don't understand it. That sum doesn't work with me. I mean, I wouldn't work for a company like that. I would stop working because I would be working for nothing. Obviously, you are getting a salary, but I mean, I wouldn't keep a company that's making a loss one year and a little more the next year. It just doesn't seem the moeite to have. Yeah, it just...
Chair, the Minister has been evasive around this question of the findings of the investigation to the board. She's told us that the recommendation was to replace the board. Okay, but we have been on record multiple times asking, why was the investigation called? We don't know the grounds. What was the findings of the investigation, and why can't they be shared with us now since the new board has been constituted? Chair, if we could also just get the remuneration packages of the current CEO and the board specifically stated for the record today. It would be an interesting comparison to see what the board gets in terms of remuneration, in terms of the actual loss that is achieved by Nexa year in, year out, year in, year out, year in, year out. And we will recognise that similar to Eskom, remuneration of state-owned entities, boards and CEOs are great significance and importance to the South African public, and I'm sure the financial director can provide us that information very quickly. Finally, it was very interesting to hear Dr. Kim articulate the potential commercialization options for Nexa. However, Chair, many of these rely on very complicated international processes. I mean, for South Africa to start reprocessing fuel in the international environment currently would be quite difficult. You'd have to achieve significant markets of scale. Even if we build 9 new reactors, South Africa would still find it very hard to find it, very cost efficient to produce its own fuel. So we're talking about becoming a reprocessor of fuel within South Africa so that we can participate along the value chain. But fundamentally, who are these countries that have approached us to want to buy fuel from us when there are significant players already in the fuel provision market? When you buy stations, you get contracts for fuel included for the first part of it. So it strikes me as another loss-making enterprise if we're going to start trying to reprocess fuel in South Africa for our own nuclear stations potentially and, one or two other countries. So I am concerned that some of the ideas that Dr. Kim is speaking about don't have any basis or haven't been discussed in more detail with us. We are very, if I can rephrase myself, Chair, I think it would be of great interest if Nexa could come back to us to give us a presentation on what aspects of commercialization do exist for Nexa. We constantly hear we are commercializing, we need to focus on commercialization. I'm sure the new board has applied its mind to some of these opportunities, and I think it would be hugely valuable for Nexa to present to this committee what those opportunities are, because as I've said, we've had a loss-making entity every single year, year in, year out, blamed on difficult market conditions. Chair, can you protect us, please? Can we have one speaker at a time? Chair, so fundamentally, I've emphasized the importance that Nexa needs to play. It needs to be a commercial entity. We have heard that there are suggestions of commercialization that exist. Can we get some kind of presentation in the near future about what those look like and what the actual strategy will be? Because the financial director has also indicated that the funding from government is on a massive declining scope, which only further emphasizes that Nexa is not potentially a going concern. And this is something we need to be very concerned about as a committee. So So it is a significant repository of information. It faces significant competition in the medical isotopes market. It is not its own financial director has admitted that it does not raise enough revenue to be a commercially functional, and we have now heard of some ideas around commercialization, which, Chair, I must say, is rather urgent that we have some kind of turnaround strategy presented to the committee so we can understand that beyond the nuclear new build program, how NEXA plans to survive in the next 5 to 10 years. Thank you.
Concerning the public awareness to the average person, I agree entirely. It's quite difficult. One has to work out how to do this. So it's not a simple exercise, but I agree entirely. I can just tell you two stories that leap to mind right now. One is just a couple of weeks old. Down in Beaufort West, the proposals to restart uranium mining there. There was a piece in the newspaper where somebody said the N1 freeway would become so radioactive that cars would no longer be able to travel down the N1 freeway. Now, this is the sort of story that gets into the newspaper and people believe it. Another one was a while back around the Kuburg reactor area. I heard a story that working class people there were anti-nuclear and so on and so forth. So I went and had a bit of a look into it, and I spoke to some people and they said to me, what we want is the decent electricity, the type that you get in Pretoria and Johannesburg, the proper stuff, not this nuclear type electricity. So I said to them, well, what's the difference? And they said, well, when the nuclear electricity comes through the wall, it's radioactive and it's shining radiation into the house. Now, no nuclear person would have even been able to figure that one out because that's so way out. When I said, where did you get that story? They said, well, anti-nuclear groups have been coming around here telling them stories like that. So that's why I said we're not standing on level ground. We're standing chest deep or something like that. When you hear a story like that, and you've got to counter those stories. But this is a worldwide phenomenon, and you're quite right. I had a case a while ago. I was in England as well, and I visited a hospital as the guest of the hospital, and I went into the nuclear medicine there. And there was a young girl about to be slid into the gamma camera, which is a very big, scary-looking machine. And she was looking petrified, and the doctors took me in there and explained her case, and they turned around and walked out. And I walked over to the girl, and I gave her a bit of a pat, and I said, don't worry, it's okay. And she grabbed hold of my arm with a vice-like grip, and she wouldn't let go. And then she was starting to slide in the machine, and I was trying to lever her fingers off, and she was absolutely petrified going into this great big thing. And nobody said, nothing's going to happen to you. So I agree with you, we really need to be much more aware of day-to-day people and the magnitude of the fear that they can build up and address it. Honourable Mackay and Van Dalen too about profitability, I agree entirely. We need to address that. I think for many years, NEX has more operated on breaking even, so to speak, and you need a different type of mentality to push for big profit. I can tell you that the turnover in nuclear medicine last year was 1.2 billion. It's significant money, and I agree, out of 1.2 billion, is the second biggest market shareholder in the world. And believe me, when we go around elsewhere in the world, we get approached by people saying, can't they go into collaborations with us because we're so powerful in the business. Now, with a 1.2 billion turnover in medicine, we should be able to do a lot better with the profit margin, and that's what we're looking at. And we've just got to be much more market aggressive and so on, rather than being happy to effectively break even. I've got some of these somewhat wild ideas. We have a number of ideas. Many of them are very viable. They need some courage to go and handle them. In the fluorine chemistry, for example, my memory, if it serves me correctly, there's only been 6 countries in the world that have ever been able to handle the fluorine gas and to develop the chemicals that we now make. These are chemicals that go into cell phones, wind turbines, and all sorts of things like that, and at very, very high precision work to make these materials, which we do, and as you heard, we export to 25 countries, 27. So. And we need to take certain of those and push for getting more cash return on them rather than business-wide. We've got plans to do that, to develop that further. There are numbers of others. I mentioned the Mrs. Blair's thing. There was no income generated with Mrs. Blair's, but it gave us big stature. number of things that have been done. We need to look at much more carefully where's the income involved, and try and ensure that the company is highly profitable. The more profitable the company is, the more latitude we have to take that money and do other things with it, without always finding that you're sailing close to the wind. So I agree entirely we must do that. But certainly a lot of the ideas that we've had are very feasible. They can be done. They need the courage of one's convictions to go out and tackle them. And I think we've, as South Africans, we've been far too reticent and not bragging about what we can do and not believing enough in ourselves. We can do things. And often we find somebody else has gone and done something that we initiated. We say, why didn't we go and capitalize on that? Why did we let somebody else get hold of it? So we need to go out there and have a lot more courage and pride in what we can achieve and make it pay. So I agree. The one comment on a written thing came through to me, is NEXA subject to the National Conventional Arms Control Act in respect of exports of NEXA and subsidiary products? The answer is yes. Where there are things that could possibly be dual use, then we're very aware of that. So we're very conscious of it. Obviously, as mentioned earlier, the possession of the highly enriched uranium, which is far, far more valuable than gold, for example, in monetary value, we're very aware of that. And also the strategic position of having those materials. But anything else we're very conscious of, the answer is yes.
Thank you, Chair. There was a following question on the share, safety, health, environment, and quality. SHEC is divided into two. There is the nuclear safety aspects, which is regulated by the National Nuclear Regulator on the basis of the National Nuclear Regulator Act. And there is a part that has to do with hospitals and some radioisotopes, which is regulated by the Department of Health. And then there's a bit that is non-nuclear, which is conventional. And that's where the HF incident falls. It's regulated by the Department of Labor on the basis of two acts, the OSH Act, Occupational Safety and Health Act, and the COID Act, the Commission for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act. The full acronym is COIDA. So this incident we're talking about is simply lodged on the conventional side of SHEC. It's not nuclear. I hope that that clarifies the issue. In terms of profitability of NEXA, when you look at NEXA, you can look at the group, because it's a NEXA group with 11 subsidiaries, and you can look at the NEXA company, which is the company that is tasked to do research and development and to take its outputs of research and development and commercialize them. We struggle a lot with the NEXA company, because the basic funding there is from the government grant, diminishing the government grant. And with the other subsidiaries, such as NTP, they sell nuclear medicine. And, Dr. Cameron just mentioned that turnover for last year was 1.2 billion. They have their own board, and they pay dividends to NEXA. So we can't say NEXA company made turnover of 1.2 billion. It's the NEXA group that includes. So it's just that differentiation. The other point that was requested relates to what appears in note 41 relates to the payments to non-executive directors and executives. For non-executive directors for 2015, the payments amounted to 1.3 million rand. And for 2016, it was 600,000 rand. And for executives, in 2015, it was 11.6 million rand. Not for one executive, but for executives. And for 2016, it's 9.4 million.
Thank you, Minister.
Chairperson, again, the recommendation of the investigation was the reconstitution of the NEXA board and improving the governance processes within NEXA. Those are recommendations. If there's anything else, I have no knowledge of this. The shareholder contract and the corporate plan was approved for the 2016-17 financial year. The members know that during the 2015-16 financial year, we had difficulties with NEXA. Hence the recommendation that the board enter the reconstitution.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honorable members, for those questions. The chair of NEXA and the rest of the team, I'm sure you've listened to the suggestions the members have made and we follow through on those. Thanks, Minister, for your presence. I must say this. I know there are challenges, but from where I sit, and what I know we were last year on next, I think we're making progress. So we should carry on to make more progress so that next time we receive your report, we can be in a better position. Of course, there are challenges that other members have raised here that we've got to attend to. But it's got to be said that some progress is being made. Stay the course.
Thanks very much. The meeting is adjourned.